Hey, this is Mar from Pods Like Us, the show where we help you to find your next podcast addiction. And you're listening to Trimming the Musical Fat, a show where Paul and Stephen tell you all you need to know about and more about the music that you love.
I love gold. The look of it, the taste of it, the smell of it, the texture. I love gold so much that I even lost my genitalia in an unfortunate smelting accident. Hence the name, Goldmember.
So welcome to Trimming the Musical Fat. I'm Paul Nicholson.
And I'm Stephen Nicholson.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode in our Hidden Prime Cuts series, where we highlight a song by a band or singer which we feel deserved more attention, i.e. it was a B-side, unreleased track, or a single that wasn't a big hit, etc. So today we're going to be talking about a track from Birmingham's finest, ELO. The song 88 North, which was a bonus track on the 30th anniversary edition of the Out of the Blue album in 2007. Before we discuss it, let's hear that very song in question.
The Iceman came. So very near, but out of sight. I heard the footsteps in the hall, and I heard a cold voice call. It's such a lonely world.
Shadows in doorways.
it's got a kind of weird kind of history. There's not that much information on it, but basically the song came out as a bonus track for the first time on the 30th anniversary edition of the Out of the Blue album. And of course, the Out of the Blue album was probably ELO's most successful album, critically and commercially. It came out in 1977. So this track was a bonus track on the end of that, which had never been released before. And it's weird because it sounds quite current for when it was released on as a bonus track, but apparently the song actually was originally started a wee back in the time of the Out of the Blue sessions, and it just kind of lay around for years, and then Jeff Lynne kind of came back to it with lyrics and stuff, and then it was finally released on the Out of the Blue anniversary edition. But I don't know how much of that is strictly true, because when you listen to it, it sounds very much like Jeff Lynne as opposed to ELO, like Jeff Lynne solo with the high acoustic guitar in the mix. And it's a brilliant song, but it doesn't sound like it was originally done in the 70s, and doesn't sound like the rest of the members of the original ELO lineup were playing on it. But for me, it's a brilliant song. It's a kind of hidden gem, which is one of the reasons we do these shows, Hidden Cuts. And it's just a great melody and really good guitar solo. But it's very of the times. That's why it doesn't sound like ELO from the 70s, but I still think it's a great song. And I think probably Jeff Lynne's used that term quite loosely with a lot of stuff he's released since the turn of the millennium, where he'll maybe use the name ELO, but really it's Jeff Lynne, it's not ELO. And what do you think about the song, Stephen?
Well, this is one of the reasons why I love doing the podcast, because you're either being introduced to new music, or you're rediscovering stuff that you haven't played in a long, long time, or you are getting to hear new stuff by artists you love, which you've just never come across before. And this is one of those instances where I hadn't heard the song until you had pointed it out to me fairly recently. So it was great. So to me, it was like hearing a brand new ELO song. Mm-hmm. And it's just classic ELO, isn't it? If you like ELO, you'll love it. If you don't, you won't. It's got that kind of typical Jeff Lynne sound, as you say. And it sounds like it should be on the end credits of a movie. Just when I listen to it, it just sounds like one of those songs. And the opening guitar chords, I was trying to remember what it reminded me of, but it's actually reminiscent of the Beatles' A's "I'm Happy Just to Dance with Her," with you, sorry, from A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like that. So no, I think it's a great song, and I'm just surprised I seem to have missed it all these years. I know certainly, yeah, it's been reading up on it, it's been lying around in the vaults, and that I think Jeff Lynne has said he had four different sets of words that he was working on, but only finished it latterly. And I'm glad that he did. Yeah, great song.
I wonder, you're talking about the connect, you're talking about, sounds like Happy Just to Dance with You. And that was a George Harrison song, wasn't it?
No.
The Beatles. No, it wasn't, no.
No. Or was it? No, because all the stuff in Hard Day's Night was Lennon.
Oh, yeah, it was John Lennon, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it was just because the guitar at the beginning sounds a bit like something on Cloud Nine, I think. Obviously, yeah, George Harrison and Jeff Lynne produced that. And to be honest, that song could have came out of that era, really, couldn't it?
I think Jeff Lynne as a producer and solo artist, he does have a very typical sound, and which means his solo stuff, plus the likes of Tom Petty or George Harrison or anyone he kind of worked with. Roy Orbison. It does have that. Even the Beatles, Real Love and Free as a Bird, it does have that which is good for him. It's got his stamp on it, you know, a production of his, yeah. And yeah, the song has that, but maybe mixed in with the more kind of classic ELO 70s sound, which obviously because it was written back then and contains elements of the recording from that period in 1977.
Yeah, but no, great. There's also another great track on the anniversary edition, The Quick and Deft, and it's only about an hour and... Not only an hour.
That's a long song.
I know it is. It's about a minute and a half, and it's just like an instrumental orchestra. And I just think if they'd finished that, I love that song. It's only like a minute and a half, but I felt like if they'd extended that, and they could have made a great song out of that.
And what's that?
It does
on?
Sound like it. It's actually just the song. It's on the bonus. 30th anniversary edition of it,
okay.
Out of the Blue, and it's the penultimate song, so it's the song just before this, and it's maybe, like I say, it just lasts about a minute and a half, but oh, it's amazing. I love it. Sounds like classic ELO, or it sounds like it's from a movie or something. It's brilliant.
And what's it called again?
The Quick and the Deft.
The Quick and the Deft.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually went on months ago on YouTube, and somebody had made a version, like a longer version. They'd sort of doubled it. Mm-hmm. It sounds brilliant. They'd like almost repeat, like played it, like they'd made it to like 3 minutes or something, with parts of the song. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly recommend it. The Quick and the Deft, it's called.
Yeah, we'll maybe tag it on to the end of this episode. Yeah, after the credits, so to speak, we'll put it on there for anybody interested.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Well, even though the tunes were pretty much singable even 20 or 15 years ago, the arrangements and the whole concept of ELO was gargantuan. In some ways, wasn't it?
It was in some ways, because there again, it was that over-the-top thing where as soon as I'd used a big orchestra, like a 40-piece string section, I went, wow, this is fun. You know, it's like, this is going to be fun to do this. And then instead of just... it was very hard to take out and play, though, and live, you know? It was really hard. So it became a problem in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... Unless you want to take a 40-piece orchestra with you everywhere, it's a big problem. And we didn't have things like samplers in those days and stuff like that, but I'm glad to say. But anyway, it was difficult, but it was big and it was occasionally overblown. But it was just ambitious, really. I was just trying to make a big sound with all lots of fun things going on.
Well, anyway, it did change the sound and the outlook of what rock was supposed to be. What you were doing.
Well, thank you.
Well, obviously, it's...
Well, it was good fun at the time, you know, and then now, after, you know, this last couple of years, I can't really say that I enjoy, at the moment, having an orchestra. I haven't had the urge to use any strings just lately. Maybe in the future, but right now I'm enjoying not having any orchestra.
During your time with the ELO, were you taking part in the organization of the stage show, and were you also involved in the production of the videos?
Not really, no. It was one of those things where it was getting bigger and bigger, you know, and it sort of almost got too big for my taste, you know. To go around to play to 20,000 people in a flying saucer wasn't really what I was trying to do. It took me a while to realize that I'm not actually having that much fun doing this. Because as a producer, I much prefer it being in the studio and making nice new music and not really going out on the road in a flying saucer, playing like in these great big echoey arenas where there was no control over the sound, and I didn't really enjoy that much. And it just, I appreciate it, that part of it, you know, and all the success, but it just got a bit too big for me, and I stopped enjoying it, really.
Mm.
Towards the end of that.
Was the time in ELO, was that constraining for you as an artist?
It got to be, because, you know, I'd done so many albums over so many years with that format, you know, and sort of a style, that it was sort of a trap in a way in the end, and I was really glad to finish the last album and say, that's it.
Okay, it's Last Orders at the Bar. Thanks for listening. If you want to share what you think about the song or provide suggestions for future episodes, please get in touch with us. You can do so via voicemail, our email address, trimthemusicalfat@gmail.com, or by joining our Facebook group. There you get access to exclusive podcast episodes and videos. You can also check out our website, www.trimthemusicalfat.com, and there you'll find all our podcast episodes and music playlists linked to each album that we cover. So be sure to come back again for more Hidden Prime Cuts. Until then, keep trimming. We'll be right back.